Hello, this is Beth Ludwig from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the January issue of Good Housekeeping magazine. A lot of the articles this month are about health and ways to be healthy in 2010. The first article is Germ-Proof Your Home. Someone's sick, don't panic. Here's how to help your household get well fast. The biggest challenges, number one, dirty doorknobs and touch points. Two, germy linens, couch pillows, and throws. Three, use dishes, toothbrushes, and tissues. Step one, the fastest fixes. Get a grip on handles. Some of the germiest places in the house are the hot spots everyone touches. Doorknobs, faucet levers, appliance handles, etc. Bacteria and viruses can live on these for up to 48 hours. Zap them with surface disinfecting sprays that are EPA registered, check the label, products that kill the influenza A virus on hard surfaces will be most effective against the H1N1 flu strain. But note, the area should be clean of visible dirt or gunk and needs to stay wet with the disinfectant for the length of time listed on the label. If it dries too quickly, do a second pass. Germs are killed during evaporation, so let air dry. For no wet items like remote controls, light switches, or phones, saturate a cotton ball with rubbing alcohol. Squeeze out and swab surfaces carefully so no liquid gets inside. Step 2. Do a bed check. While plenty of rest helps cure a cold, it also leaves bedding and sofa accessories in need of a good washing. Scoop up sheets and pillowcases as well as bathroom towels and launder them in hot water. To dry, choose the antibacterial cycle if your dryer has one. Otherwise, use the highest temperature setting. For sofa throws, pillows, and covers, launder according to label directions. For non-washable fabrics, spritz with a fabric-safe disinfectant spray, but test in a hidden spot first. Wash your hands after touching soiled linens. Because bacteria can remain in the washer, it's a good idea to debug the machine by running a normal hot water cycle minus the clothes with a touch of bleach added. Tackle the other ickies. Your instinct might be to be meticulously clean, to clean the dishes, but the CDC says you don't need to. Just wash them as usual in the dishwasher or in the sink with hot water and dish soap. It's smart to get the sick person a new toothbrush, which should be replaced every 3 months anyway. The bigger concern, dirty tissues. Empty waste baskets and go over the bins with disinfecting wipes or spray, or run small plastic ones through a dishwasher cycle. Make it easier next time. Place bottles of alcohol-based, at least 60%, hand sanitizer in convenient locations around the house to encourage use in addition to frequent hand washing. Assign the patient a specific hand towel or even simpler, use paper ones. Line waste baskets with plastic bags or put out paper bags in the bed, bath, and living rooms as tissue receptacles for easy disposal. Now for our Ask Heloise column. Here's our first question. How do I get candle wax off my beautiful glass candle holders? Answer, lay the candlesticks, not antique or delicate ones, in the freezer for about an hour. The wax will harden and then can be lifted off with your fingernail or a plastic spatula. For more delicate holders or for wax that doesn't come off after freezing, melt wax by using a hairdryer on high heat. Wipe off with a paper towel. Wash in hot, sudsy water to remove any waxy smudges. Ice maker muck. The ice maker and the water area in my refrigerator door gets black and moldy, and I can't reach in there to get it. Any cleaning ideas? Answer. First, check the ice maker filter. It should be cleaned or changed according to your manual. To clean the interior area behind the trap door where the ice comes down, turn off the ice maker, then spray with vinegar, which kills many molds. Or try a chopstick wrapped with a microfiber cloth, dampened with vinegar. Scrub up into the space, wipe down with a clean cloth with dampened water. Make several rounds of ice cubes and discard to ensure that there is no lingering vinegar. If the mold continues to be a problem, call a repair person. Question. My daughter has inherited a sofa and chair from my brother's basement. Both smell very musty. How can I get the odor out? Answer. To begin, remove the cushions and any slip covers if possible and vacuum everything well. Sprinkle fabric surfacers with lots of baking soda. Rub in it to absorb that smell. Note, don't try this on leather or silk upholstery. Leave on for several hours, then vacuum up. Wipe any hard surfaces with a microfiber cloth that has been dampened with white or apple cider vinegar. Launder any slip covers in hot soapy water if it's okay for the fabric. If not, dry clean per label instructions. If the smell still lingers, use an unscented antimicrobial fabric spray. If none of these hints work, the furniture may be beyond help because the foaming or the padding is the problem. Here's some more good health tips for 2010. Changing hearts and minds. Take care of your heart now and your brain will thank you later. In a large study that tracked 11,000 people, investigators calculated the increased risk of dementia later in life for those who had various heart diseases before age 60. These are the mind-blowing statistics. If you have high blood pressure, it raises your odds of 100%. If you're a smoker, it raises your odds of 120%. If you have diabetes, it raises your odds 170%. Fortunately, we know the best way to cut the odds of high blood pressure and diabetes. Engage in physical activity. Maintain a healthy weight. Follow a diet that includes plenty of fruits, vegetables, and whole grains. And for blood pressure, limit salt consumption. Hopefully, these numbers will give people an additional reason to quit smoking and to work to head off other cardiovascular issues, said Dr. Alonso, Ph.D., assistant professor at the University of Minnesota. Happier New Year. Was the sun sparkling on the snow this morning? Did you exchange friendly words with the supermarket cashier? Savor the memories. In a recent study, college students who recorded the greatest number of positive moments in daily emotional reports turned out to be the happiest overall and the ones best able to cope with challenging situations, even though they logged nearly as many instances of negative reactions. You don't have to be smiles all the time to benefit from positive emotions, says Philip Cohen, Ph.D., at the University of California. You've got plenty of time to feel worried or angry and still enjoy a piece of chocolate or a walk. If you struggle to turn off the negative thought, research shows, you can boost your mood by writing down three good things that happened every day. Cohen also suggests to consciously stop to enjoy positive experiences as they occur. If you're the sensitive type, your teeth, that is, you might want to try an aloe vera tooth gel. In lab tests, one brand, Forever Bright, controlled cavity-causing microbes, just as well as Pepsodent and Colgate, but the gel is less abrasive than standard paste. Also, because aloe is an anti-inflammatory, it may help swollen gums. Forever Bright is available only online at foreverliving.com. It sells for $6.25 for a tube. Other brands that meet standards are listed on the International Aloe Council website. Their website is iasc.org. More health news. Eat like a caveman. No, you don't have to bring down a woolly mammoth, but eat a ratio of omega-3s to omega-6 fats similar to that of our ancestors, and you might be able to offset the body-wide inflammation that causes health problems such as heart disease and arthritis. In a study, participants took two supplements to approach the right dietary balance of fish oil, 775 milligrams, and borage oil, 831 milligrams of GLA. But adapting your own diet to limit saturated and trans fats and to include at least two servings of fish a week will get you on track to lowering inflammation without pills. That information was from Wake Forest University. Comeback fat. Is palm oil out to get us again? At one time, manufacturers used this saturated fat in packaged foods, but then they traded it for partially hydrogenated vegetable oil, a trans fat once considered a heart-smarter alternative. Now trans fats are largely gone and palm oil is back. But it turns out both fats raise LDL cholesterol about the same amount, so both pose a risk to your heart. So what to do? Here's your shopping tip. No trans fats on a label may not mean heart healthy. Skip products that have palm oil or partially hydrogenated oils and limit your consumption of packaged goodies and snacks. D is for diet. Vitamin D supplements may be the newest weight loss pills. When the University of Minnesota researchers measured blood levels of the sunshine vitamin in 38 overweight people, they found that when the subjects went on a low-calorie diet, those with higher levels of vitamins D lost more weight than those with lower levels. Even better, the high D group also lost more belly fat. Scientists can't say yet whether taking the vitamin will help you drop pounds, but we do know that most Americans fall short on D. And good housekeeping, along with many experts, have long recommended 1,000 IUs daily, not the official 200 to 400. Here's hoping it slims your waist and boosts your health. Sweets to go. Stash a Splenda Mist in your purse or desk to sweeten any food or beverage from grapefruit to yogurt to coffee without adding calories. The canister, in a flower or polka dot design, is available only online at splendidlife.com. But once you get over that inconvenience, you'll love having no packets or powdery mess to take around with you. Here's some diet tips. Drop 5 pounds. Tips and tricks to try today. You say tomato, we say weight loss. The new diet drink of choice may be veggie juice, reports Baylor College of Medicine. When they studied 81 overweight adults who were following the DASH diet, rich in foods like fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and lean meats, they found those who had a daily 8 1-ounce glass of low-sodium veggie juice lost an average of 4 pounds in 12 weeks, while a control group lost only 1 pound. The juice, usually tomato mixed with a variety of vegetables, may fill you up so you eat less overall, theorized researchers. Try sipping a glass as you cook dinner. You'll get a dose of veggies, and it may stop the pre-meal snacking. Bend it like Bikram. If you've dubbed 2010 the year of smarter eating, doing yoga could help you get started. Scientists from the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center in Seattle surveyed 303 adults about their eating habits and found that yoga buffs were more mindful eaters than walkers or runners. Turns out they also weighed less than those who didn't practice the Eastern art. The downward dog, downward weight connection. When you pay more attention to your eating, you recognize your I'm full signals and stop. Hit the mat for at least 60 to 90 minutes a week, recommends this health study. Our next good health article is called Easy Knee Repair, Scar-Free Surgery, and Five Other Medical Miracles That Can Change Your Life by Beth Howard. It's not every day or even every decade that researchers lead to a real medical breakthrough, the kind that revolutionizes the treatment of a disease or condition. But the cutting-edge therapies promise to do just that. And for four women profiled here who have been part of these exciting studies, the revolution has already happened. Knee repair. 3 years ago, Pixie, then 45, was doing a squat in her exercise class when she tore her right meniscus, the cartilage that cushions the bone of the knee. The injury was severe. Pixie, a mother of four and a pediatric nurse at a children's hospital in Denver, was in constant pain, which sometimes interfered with her responsibilities at work. If I had to bend down to look at an oxygen tank, it was a real ordeal to get back up. Pixie thought arthroscopic surgery would help restore her active lifestyle. She also took rigorous self-defense classes, but there was so much damage, there was no way to repair it. Her only option, it seemed, was now full knee replacement surgery. Then Pixie learned about a new program that uses a patient's own stem cells to regenerate damaged tissues. Physicians extract bone marrow from your hip, grow special cells from it in the lab, and then inject them in the injured area over the knee. Over the next several weeks, the cells differentiate into the type needed, in this case, cartilage. Plus, they act like general contractors, says researcher Christopher Centeno, head of the Centeno Schultz Pain Management Clinic in Colorado, who conducted trials on this procedure. They can bring in other cells to help with repair or inflammation. This versatility makes stem cells potentially useful for fixing many problems. Indeed, hundreds of studies are underway, testing the cells for everything from wound healing to heart repair. For Pixie, the process has been life-changing. Although the injection of cells into her inflamed knee was somewhat painful, after 3 weeks, the discomfort and swelling erased. Strikingly, an MRI taken 6 months later, before a second injection, showed that cartilage had actually grown by 40%, and the cartilage has kept on growing. Now, 2 years later, it's increased to 70%. Although not every patient is so lucky, among a group of 50 slated for knee replacement in Dr. Centeno's study, almost 90% had at least 50% improvement in function and pain. And for half of those volunteers, the improvement was 75%. Next up will be a controlled study. Today, Pixie can work and work out without pain. She's enjoying all her favorite activities, including deep squats. I can go all the way down, she reports. She said the other day she worked a 12-hour shift at the hospital and her knee was a little sore. Then I realized it was my left knee, not the injured one. Scar-free surgery. Linda's first gallbladder attack 2 years ago was so painful she thought it might be her heart. The culprit was a marble-sized gallstone pressing against her stomach and intestine. Some 20 million Americans, more women than men, experience gallstones when substances in the gland harden to stone-like materials. Linda, an assistant preschool teacher with two teenage boys, was offered a choice for having her troublemaking gallbladder removed. The first option, laparoscopic surgery, in which the doctors would make four small incisions in her abdomen to view the abdominal cavity, pass instruments back and forth, and remove the diseased organ. Option two, though strange, was more intriguing. Doctors would remove the gallbladder through a natural opening in her body. called natural orifice transluminal endoscopic surgery, NOTES for short. Such operations include removing gallbladder and appendixes and repairing hernias through the patient's mouth or vagina. There's only a small puncture in the belly button where the surgeon inserts a mini camera and a light to help guide the procedure. Several centers around the country, including the UC San Diego Medical Center, New York Presbyterian Hospital, and Northwestern Hospital in Chicago, are performing the surgeries now, and more are expected as this is specialized. Unlike standard abdominal operations, NOTES avoids cutting through abdominal muscles. External incisions are not only painful, but can take weeks to fully heal and can cause other complications like hernias. The small internal cuts that NOTES surgeons make is less sensitive to internal organs. It heals quickly, are not exposed to germs. An open wound can cause infection. With the tiny puncture hidden deep in the belly button, we minimize the risk of achieving a scarless result. At first, Linda wasn't thrilled at the idea of having her gallbladder removed through her vagina, but having a major surgery in her teens, she knew what being cut up and what stitches meant. "I wanted to avoid that pain and longful recovery," she said. Her decision was a right one. "My sister had her appendix removed through traditional abdominal surgery and was wiped out and in bed for 2 weeks. I needed," Linda said, "a painkiller for 2 days. A week later, I was back to my regular activities, even chasing the kids at school with only a little tenderness in my belly button." The next surgery is called mood-lifting implants. Some 18 million Americans suffer from major depression. One of them, about 1 in 5, never get better, no matter what therapy is tried. Leslie, 55, fell into that group of the so-called treatment-resistant group. Her problem began when she was in her 20s, newly married, and starting a family in Rockport, Massachusetts. She worked at a bank and enjoyed teaching Sunday school. At first, her mood was just off kilter, though sometimes she experienced mania, periods of wildly elevated emotions and extreme energy. "I'd stay up half the night washing and ironing sheets," she said. She took the drug lithium to regulate her moods, but eventually the swing tilted in the opposite direction. Leslie was so depressed she was barely able to leave the house. The simplest task became overwhelming. "I had so little concentration, I'd get lost going to the grocery store," she said. Once she wandered away from her home and ended up in a nearby park, where her frantic family found her hours later, asleep on a bench. Leslie was hospitalized several times for depression and through the years tried everything, counseling, drugs, electroshock therapy. "All that did was destroy memories of my 3 daughters, she said. She even considered taking her own life. Then 2 years ago, Leslie's doctor helped her enroll in a study of pioneer treatment called deep brain stimulation at Boston, Massachusetts' General Hospital. Already approved for treating patients with Parkinson and other neurological disorders, DBS is a kind of pacemaker for the brain. The battery-powered unit is placed in the chest, where it sends electrical signals to receivers that have been implanted in specific brain regions, correcting abnormal activity associated with depression. In studies, DBS, half the patients have experienced at least a 50% improvement in mood, and a third have complete remission. Unusual success for treatment-resistant depression. "You just don't get these kind of results," says study co-author Imand Eskander, associate professor at Harvard. The procedure is still experimental, though. Final trials for FDA approval are underway, and it could be available within a few years. Schieffer was among the lucky ones. "I used to cry every day," she said, "but after her pacemaker was turned on, her sadness gradually lifted. She no longer had trouble finding her way around town and has returned to church, where she co-chairs the trustee committee. She is filling in her missing memories by creating scrapbooks for her daughters." Every 6 months or so, Leslie Schieffer has to have batteries in the chest unit replaced, surgery done under general anesthesia. But weighing where she was before and what her life offers her now, she says that's not a big deal. For 34 years, I was fighting just to stay alive, even with pain and inconvenience, she says. This is the best thing that has ever happened to me and my family. Our last revolutionary treatment is called the Cool Code. When a person's heart stops beating, no blood and oxygen is going to the brain. Cooling the body only a few degrees reduces the chance of damage, increasing the odds that the patient will return to a normal life. That's why accident victims who live through a plunge in a freezing river can survive without neurological problems. But in a hospital, the processes that are used to cool bodies, blowing cold air on a patient or packing them in ice, can take hours, often too long to stop cell death and brain damage. It's no wonder only a small fraction of cardiac arrest patients whose hearts are restarted again regain all their abilities. If the stars hadn't fallen in line on November 11th, as Cynthia Crawford, 57, puts it, she might have not been that lucky, a former psychiatric nurse in Louisiana said. She went to the New Orleans Medical Center to see if she was a candidate for a heart transplant. A former smoker who suffered from congestive heart failure, Crawford used a pacemaker and had implanted defibrillator to keep her heart pumping, but it was growing weak. When a medical resident found her slumped in the hospital garage, he quickly rushed her to the ER. You could call it being at the right place at the right time. Ochsner is one of the only 50 medical centers that use a novel cooling therapy called the thermal suit. This inflatable cocoon-like device sprays the body with hundreds of icy cold jets of water, reducing a patient's temperature in about 20 to 40 minutes. It's faster than anything available. That has translated into far lower rates of brain damage in patients using the device. Crawford doesn't remember much about the day her heart stopped, but when she woke up in intensive care, she said, "I knew I'd been to hell and back. I learned that they had to shock me 5 times to get my heart going." After cooling her body, doctors implanted a heart pump to take over the work of her weakened heart, buying time while she waits for a new one from a donor. But she wouldn't have even been on the transplant list if she hadn't been lucky enough to be placed in a thermal suit. A nurse on the cardiac unit told me that somebody who comes in like I did usually ends up in a long-term care facility. Instead, she has more energy than ever. And while the battery for the pump, carried in a vest, is a little cumbersome, she says, it hasn't slowed her down. I go everywhere, especially if it involves shopping. Participating in a medical study is one way to benefit from these new treatments, and volunteers are often badly needed. Numerous trials, including many sponsored by the National Cancer Institute, can't be completed because there's not enough patients to sign on. To find studies, check clinicaltrials.gov and centerwatch.com, as well as organizations for your specific condition. So you can sign up for medical trials at clinicaltrials.gov, clinicaltrials.gov. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of the January issue of Good Housekeeping Magazine. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Beth Ludwig, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. So long, until next time.